Indeed.com.
Backing up a couple of weeks as we kind of roll into this morning, like 2 weeks ago, Bob talked about God's plan. Basically, God's plan for salvation is Jesus, right? He's Jesus. He sent his son Jesus into the world. He lived his life perfectly, always obeying the will and the ways of God the Father, and then he became a sacrifice that would atone for our sin once and for all. It's not an automatic thing, right? We don't just get that automatically. We need to receive that gift. In order for us to receive salvation, we have to put our faith and trust in Jesus. In other words, we have to stop saying, I am God. Like, I am my own God. That's what we talked about last week. And instead of having that attitude, we need to surrender to him. And when we do, everything changes for us. We're brought back into a right relationship with a perfect and holy God. We're pulled out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. And then for each of us, we can say, I have a new reality and a new identity. And that new reality is, I am God's. Like, I belong to him. So this morning we're exploring, there's kind of two aspects to this that we're going to explore. This is kind of part one. Next week is part two. This week, we're looking at the belonging aspect. I belong to God. And next week, Scott Westfall will lead us through a little bit more about our identity, what it means that we are his, that we belong to God. So this morning, mostly about belonging. And I want to start with a verse from Psalm 100. It's Psalm 100, verse 3. And this is just kind of part of that verse. But it says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I want to focus, though, starting on that. We are his people. Right? That phrase really struck me this week. I was I kind of came across this. It was a Christian counseling blog, and it was sharing about the desire that we all have for connection with other people specifically. And it said this: we all desire to be connected. The greatest joy a human can feel is the joy of being securely connected or attached to others. The greatest type of pain a human can feel is relational pain, which is experienced through loss, rejection, and loneliness, right? So it's saying, look, the greatest joys and the greatest pains in life ultimately stem from our relationships and our connections. Then it went on to say, the human brain is actually more concerned with who our connections are than we are as an individual. It is not that individual identity is not important, because it is, it definitely is. But belonging to our people is even more important. Right? Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but again, that idea, that thought really struck me, because that relationship and connection comes from belonging. Right? And it's saying that is more important than our individual identity. It reminded me of a couple of years ago when our youngest daughter, Taryn, went to school. She went to college at Missouri State. It was a great school, lots of students, very cool, visited, loved it, lots of opportunity. But she really struggled her semester there. She really struggled emotionally because she just couldn't seem to find or connect with her people. And like, that's the exact phrase that she used. And until I read this kind of little article, it's sort of like, oh, I kind of get it now, right? But that's the phrase she used. She was there for just a semester, but it really crushed her spirit. So she transferred to Palm Beach Atlantic, and as you can imagine, there are a lot of reasons why that would be appealing. She wasn't even totally sure how her majors would line up, but what she did know was that she knew people there. Some of her friends were there. She knew people she could connect with there. So her individual goals, even her degree and what she was going to study, kind of became secondary to the relational connection she had with people there, because they were her people. Well, relationships in so many ways are the most important thing in life, but no relationship is more important than the one God wants to have with us. Right now, God is not human. We understand that. But he is a relational being. Like, we as humans are made in his image. The verse even said that, right? He is the one who created us. And he created us in his image. Why did he create us in his image? Because he wants to have a relationship with us. And the only way that's going to work is if we can relate to him and connect with him to a certain degree, right? He made us in his image and likeness so we could experience relationship and connection with him. Because you and I are his people, right? At least he wants us to be. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people. We belong to him. So I was thinking about that this week, and really here's the question that we're going to focus in on for the message today is this. What does it mean to belong to Jesus? Right? What does it mean to belong to Jesus? And as I sat down to think about that and prepare for this week's message and that sort of thing, I honestly, it was a little bit of a struggle early on, just mentally, because, you know, I wanted to find this, like, perfect passage that was going to illustrate all this stuff and whatever, things about belonging, and I don't know. But as the week moved along, and as I kept working through it and praying through it, I felt like the Holy Spirit was just kind of nudging me to focus on this idea. Don't just make this an intellectual case study. Don't just build an argument. I mean, I think there is one here. But don't just do that. Make it personal. Right? Really engage your heart. What does it really mean to me that I belong to Jesus? What does it mean for us that we belong to Jesus from a heart level? And a number of things really stirred in my heart, and they're going to be very simple, but they're super important. And the first thing is this. I am chosen. Right? I am chosen. Being picked or chosen, that's a huge deal. Like, as kids, there are a lot of times where we don't get picked. Or we're like, you know, down the line, way on the bottom end of where people are picking their teams or picking their partners or whatever. I see that even in soccer where kids match up and like, okay, these two go with these two, these two go with these two, and there's always that one kid that seems to be the leftover, right? Even when I was a kid, you know, like I might have been the best or strongest basketball player at the time or football player, but I wasn't going to get picked first, right? The more popular kids got picked first, the captain's friends get picked first. And of course, we never actually get to be the captain somehow. I don't know how that doesn't work, but y'all know what that's like, right? Happens as adults, too. Like, you know what it's like to be passed over for an opportunity, a raise, a promotion, a job opening. You know what it's like to be overlooked, not invited to participate. It's painful, right? Well, God doesn't overlook us. He doesn't pass us over. He's picking every one of us if we'll respond to him. He's inviting us all to come to him. So in the Old Testament, we read that God chose a specific people through whom he would accomplish his plan and send a Savior into the world. And here's what he spoke to them, to Israel, through the prophet or leader, Moses. He says this in Deuteronomy 7, "For you are a people holy to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore." And it kind of goes on. So God chose and called and establish his people Israel out of all the people in the world. Right? They were his treasured possession, it says. But now through Jesus, he's chosen and invited and called every one of us to be part of his people through Jesus. God chose you. God chose me. He picked you, and he picked me. And I just think the first thing that we need to grab onto in the idea of belonging to God, it means I'm chosen. I'm chosen by him. The second thing is this: I'm valued. I am valued. Isaiah 43 gets referred to a lot, but Isaiah 43:1 says this: "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Now, there's a lot in this short little verse if you wanted to break it down. But the key thing that stood out to me first was that God tells me I am redeemed, right? Being redeemed means you were bought back with a price, that I was bought back with a price. You know, when you sell a car or you sell a house or something like that, you discover its value, its real value, because its real value is what someone's willing to pay for it, right? It doesn't matter how much you think it's worth. The real value is what someone's willing to pay to acquire it. Well, Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate price for you and for me. He gave his life on a cross, but he did it for you and for me. Right? It shows this incredible value and worth that we have to him. We're so worthwhile. We're so valuable to him. He would lay down his life for us, his perfect, sinless life for us. Belonging to God means I'm valued. Belonging to God also means I am secure. I am secure. That same verse, Isaiah 43:1 says, do not fear. Right? Do not fear. You don't have to fear God. Like, we don't have to fear being rejected by him even when we mess up. God has already bought you back. He's redeemed you. He's redeemed me. He's already paid the price to set you free through Jesus. It wasn't because of anything good that you did. It wasn't because you earned it. It wasn't because you deserved it. God gave Jesus to die for you and me while we were still sinners. In other words, while we were enemies with him. So think about this. If he did that for us when we were his enemies, do you really think that he's going to give up on you now? Now that you belong to him? Now that you're his child? Of course not. We can be assured he's going to see it through. That should bring us a great sense of security and peace, knowing we're good with God. And we're good with God no matter what. Like, I have nothing to fear. Another passage about this is 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Right now, you think about it, in those days, like, a king's seal was typically placed on a written order, an edict of some kind, and then the paper was, like, folded and attached, you know, with a blob of wax, and the king's ring, the signet ring, was like pushed into the wax with his seal on it, his shape. And that signified or showed or proved that what was included, what was written there, was by order of the king. It had the king's stamp of approval. And whatever the king said, that goes, right? That went. Well, God is the king of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and he put his seal, the Holy Spirit, on us. When we come to faith in Jesus, God puts the Holy Spirit in us. It's like his stamp of approval. It's like indicating his seal is on us, the Holy Spirit within us. It's the seal of authority that guarantees our redemption, our salvation. Right? That's what that verse says. And his decision is final, right? He's not going to change his mind on this. What God says goes, right? So because I belong to God, I am secure. I am secure, even if I don't feel it all the time. You can probably all relate to that. I am secure. So belonging to God means I'm chosen, means I'm valued, it means I'm secure. But probably the most important thing of those of all these things is I am loved. Right? I am loved. Belonging to God means I am loved by Him. 1 John 3, 1, kind of the first part of the verse says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us. Right? When Paul says what manner of God, or what manner of love God has given to us, it's referring to both the kind of love that He gives us and the depth of love that He's poured out on us. Right? The kind of love is like the perfect kind. It's God's love. And His love is of the greatest depth as well. God calls us who believe in Jesus His children. Now, we aren't like Jesus in the sense of being a natural born child of God, like Jesus is God's son, but we've been adopted and brought into God's family. And Scripture tells us that God loves us just as He loves us. In fact, Jesus says He longs for us to know that. God loves us just as He loves Jesus. And you think about it, what parent, well, I should say this differently, what good parent doesn't love their kid? Right? What good parent doesn't try to make sure their son or their daughter knows they are loved? Like, as mere humans, we aren't always the best at loving our kids, and there are some people who are downright terrible at it, right? But not God. Parental experience we've had, no matter how bad, or even no matter how good, it is nowhere near the kind of love God has for us. So to say I'm loved by God, that's probably even a bit of an understatement. Right? Well, I'm loved by God. I am. But there's so much more to it. So not only am I loved, but specifically, I'm loved deeply. I am loved deeply. There might not be a better phrase in all of Scripture that captures the idea of belonging better than this one. And it's from Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. Nobody's smiling yet, but maybe you're not understanding the context. But it says this, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." Pretty simple. I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine. Now I say, you may not be smirking a little bit about the context, because Song of Solomon, well, first of all, it's a book we don't spend a whole lot of time on in church because it's a little steamy. Like, it's a romance book. It's a book written from the perspective, basically, of a woman to her husband, to her husband who is her lover. And it's a portrayal of this intimate, romantic human relationship. But of course, it's meant also to reflect or represent this passionate love relationship we're meant to have with God. It's similar to how Ephesians 5:32, Paul's writing to the Ephesians, and he talks about the mystery that is the love relationship between a man and his wife is supposed to be a reflection of the love relationship between Christ and His bride, the church. In other words, between Jesus and us. And so this passage says, "I am my beloved's." Now, I'm not even sure how to capture this sentiment outside of a romantical context to really understand how is like, it's like her heart is flooded with emotion, with love, with joy, with passion at the thought of belonging to her lover. It's how highly she thinks of him and how deeply she longs for him. And FYI, that's like every husband's dream about his wife, right? Ought to be loved and wanted like that. It's probably true the other way around. But it's not supposed to be a one-way thing. It's not just a one-way thing. She says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Like, she knows her husband, her lover, feels just as strongly and passionately about her. And so you take all of this kind of emotion and passion and then put it into the context of your relationship with Jesus. See yourself as his beloved. Do you know how deeply, deeply loved you really are? Can you say it with that same kind of confidence and passion suggested in this passage? I am my beloved's. I belong to God who loves me deeply. And he is mine. Like, I am loved deeply. That's a part of us belonging to God. And not only am I loved deeply, but I am loved for certain. I'm loved for certain. Like, God's love for me is never going to be on shaky ground. It's steadfast. It's sure. It's going to last. Right? Like, we dug into this a little bit in our study in Romans, but Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 says this, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? No one and nothing can ever separate us from God's love for us. It's not going anywhere. So I belong to God means that I'm loved deeply, I'm loved for certain, and I'm loved forever. I am loved forever. Like, you probably heard the phrase or a phrase similar to this, like, love stands the test of time. And that's true enough, I suppose. But in fact, the truest love is going to stand the test of eternity. Not just over time. It's going to stand the test of eternity. Psalm 136 captures the love God has for us so incredibly, where every other verse or every end of the verse really is talking about his steadfast love for us. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. And on and on and on, down to the last verse 26. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. He will always love you. He will always love me. That is never going to change. So belonging to God means I am loved forever. Right? If I could sum this all up in just in a minute or so, is this. We were made for relationship and connection with God through Jesus. When we surrender to him and put our faith and trust in him, we belong to him. Belonging to God means many things, but among these are, I am chosen, I am valued, I am secure, and I am loved. And not just with any kind of love, a perfect kind of love that is, I am loved deeply, I am loved for certain, I am loved forever. And I want to just close with one last passage, and then each week we've been kind of putting out a statement for us to consider whether this is true for us in our lives. So let me kind of close with this. The passage is a prayer of sorts that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. And I want to use the New Living Translation. I like the way this reads and is worded. Ephesians 3, 18 through through 19. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the God, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Like, we are supposed to experience real intimacy with the Lord. We should be constantly growing in deeper connection and relationship with Him. We should be living from this sense of that we have of belonging to Him. Now, we know that in our human relationships, sometimes people drift apart in life. Right? Not every friendship we have or relationship is going to last a lifetime. And sometimes that's okay. Now, there's other relationships that are meant to be lifelong connections. Our marriages, for instance, or our relationships with our children, right? Those are relational connections that aren't ever meant to be severed. Unfortunately, even with those that are the closest and most important to us, it's so easy to put them on autopilot. We can slip into a place where we're just going through the motions with the people closest to us, instead of fostering that deeper connection. Well, that's not good. We have to fight against that. But the reality is the same thing can happen in our relationship with Jesus. Right? We can find ourselves going through the motions with Him too. It's never on His end, by the way. He's not going through the motions with us. But it happens on our end. We take Him for granted. He becomes an afterthought. Spending time with Him, not that big a deal. We just squeeze Him in when we can. But of course, that's not how things are meant to be. We are supposed to experience real intimacy with the Lord, constantly growing in deeper connection with Him. And so here's the closing statement, or the statement that I want you to consider for this week and give it some thought. And it's simply this: I am growing in deeper connection with the Lord. I am growing in deeper connection with the Lord. And I word it that way because it's a question for every one of us. It doesn't matter how, if we've been following the Lord for a short period of time or for decades or whatever it is, am I growing in deeper connection with Him today, each day? Is that true for you? Are you chasing after Him each day? Are you seeking to know Him more fully? I'm growing in deeper connection with the Lord. Because when that statement is true, we're going to be able to fully experience what it really means to belong to Him. When that statement is true, we'll really start to understand that we are chosen and valued and secure and loved. And I think when that statement is true, we'll get to experience what Paul prayed for in his letter to the Ephesians. And again, one more time with that verse. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. We want to make that our prayer this morning. And the worship team, if you want to come up, we're going to close with a couple of songs. Father God, Your heart is for us to know how deeply loved we are, how valued we are, how secure we are. That You have chosen us, You call us Your children, and You want us to live with that sense of belonging. Lord God, help us to be pursuing that relationship, that connection with You, and growing in it deeper and deeper every day, so that we could truly understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep Your love is for us. Because when we have that, we will not go through the motions. We will live from this sense of how loved we are. We will experience, like Paul says, we'll experience the love of Christ to a great degree, even though your love is so amazing, so big, so strong that we can't even fully understand it. Help us to be made complete and experience fullness of life and the power that comes from you, like Paul prayed. Because we know we belong to you, because we know we're loved. God, as we turn our hearts to worship you, as we sing this song, it just talks about us being yours. May that sink in deeply this morning. May we truly experience just a powerful sense of how loved we are by you. In the name of Christ we pray. Let's stand together and we'll close in worship.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.